everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Family Office Success Podcast, where we talk all things family office. I'm your host, Christy Van Wright, and today we're diving into a topic that is pivotal for firms serving ultra-high net worth families. It's the tipping point. When to build new administrative family office services in-house versus partnering with an outside provider. So before we get started, I just want to give you a quick background on what we do at White River Consultants. We work with a wide range of firms, RIAs, multifamily offices, single family offices, law practices, accounting firms. We really run the gamut as far as who we are able to supplement and help through challenging times or help on an ongoing basis, because we're here to help you, here to help them scale their business strategically and profitably. We've seen the ups, we've seen the downs. We've lived it firsthand, and we have thankfully lived to tell the tale. So just know that we have been in your shoes. Sometimes we are still in your shoes. We are constantly learning and growing ourselves and helping our clients, our families grow, and these other businesses and practices that we serve, helping them grow. So let's jump right in. The tipping point. Have you ever had that moment when everything just stops? You stop and it feels like everything around you stops. You just reached a point of no return where the choices that you're about to make are going to shape your trajectory. For firms serving wealthy families, the tipping point and or this stopping point very often comes when clients start requesting additional services like property management and bill pay and staffing and just, you know, complex project coordination. How you navigate this juncture can truly make or break your business. So if you are at that point in your firm and you are trying to decide, do I expand? And if the answer is yes, your next question is, do I insource or do I outsource? If you answered the question, I don't know, on should I expand, this part is for you. So if you're at the beginning stages of considering of, you know, adding new services to enhance client relationships, here we go. Before we dive into the in-house versus outsourcing debate, let's cover a couple of key considerations that you can use to help guide this decision-making process. First and foremost, pull out your 3 to 5 year strategic plan. You have this, yes? Great. Okay, pull it out. Take a hard look at where you expect your firm to go in terms of growth trajectory, your avatar, your target client profile, if you want to expand geographically, any of the plans that you have on that paper. I want you to ask yourself this: will adding new services enhance or hinder progress towards those North Star goals? You're the only one that can answer this question, but I propose that if your strategy is to remain lean, be specialized, be focused, then getting into the weeds of family office services is very likely to derail you by forcing you into a much broader scope. Flip side of that, if your plan involves aggressively, you know, increasing existing client relationships or acquiring whole family accounts, and you're ready to do that, then expanding your service offering, you know, may help accelerate some of those objectives. The key here is to connect your decisions that you're making today with your vision for tomorrow. It's about evolution, not a revolution. And it's not about keeping up with the firm next door who are adding all of the things that you can't see if they are going well or not. It's about making sure that your vision is going to be fulfilled and hopefully sidestepping some things that are going to keep you away from that. So I think the quote is, we're not kept from our visions by a lack of goals. We're kept from hitting those big visions because there are lesser goals that are lying around that are very easy to pick up and distract us. So now this next point, I can't emphasize it enough. You also absolutely need to intimately understand profitability per client. I have seen even well-intentioned service launches be sabotaged by an otherwise healthy firm because they didn't pencil out the numbers. So here's what you need to do. Calculate each client or client segments' profitability based on the revenue they generate compared to the resources they consume. How do you do that? Well, for any firm, it is your cost of your staff time, which is hours logged multiplied by an hourly rate. And if you don't track time, it's a little more challenging. You can still do it. You're going to be dependent upon your staff giving you kind of a general, how long do you think it spent you to do something? You need to know what your cost of staff time is. And if you're not logging hours, I highly suggest you do so because it's how you're going to do your tracking later on. So cost of staff time, add in any software, data, tools that require that you need to deliver that service. Don't forget insurance, covering expanded scope. A lot of times specifically on the RIA side, if you have just a general business owner's cybersecurity, kind of the basic policies, I can tell you that adding certain administrative services are not going to be covered. In the administrative side, the administrative services are very likely going to be what puts you in hot water before what your bread and butter is. So make sure that you know that you can get those expanded insurance and how much it costs, and then your additional administrative costs. You know, all of the additional, you've got your regular business costs like rent and things like that. So compare this all-in expense to the fees that you collect currently from those clients. This is going to show you the true return on investment for this relationship. Without a positive ROI here, adding services may placate clients in the short term who are asking, but it's going to drag down your margins across your entire book over time. So the hard truth here is that not all revenue dollars are created equal, and some will actively detract you from your bottom line. And if you leave these unchecked, unprofitable activities are going to gradually choke out what could otherwise be a very thriving firm. So if you're looking to get into this, you're going to do some research and figure out what it's going to take, but you need to know what your current ROI is as well. Also, you know, you need solid benchmarks of where your profitability currently stands in order to track the impact of any strategic moves down the line. It may be that adding services does increase your profitability. It may be that it decreases it so much you decide that is no longer going to be done at your firm, and you have to figure out what to do with the folks that you're currently servicing. So do the math, run the models, prove out the economics before you move forward. Too many firms get tunnel vision around making clients happy at all costs and lose sight of maintaining a healthy operation. Keep it in mind, you aren't truly helping your clients if you can't keep your doors open and your team adequately staffed and resourced. Another critical factor is to assess your existing team's bandwidth and capabilities before stretching them further. If you're not sure the difference between bandwidth and capabilities, go listen to our last podcast where we talk about that in depth. But you need to conduct a very thorough audit of strengths and gaps across, I think, probably three key areas. And the first is available time. What's current workloads and what's remaining capacity? Expertise. Who has the right knowledge and skills and or the aptitude required to acquire them? The third is openness to change. You know, change is not always easy. So you need to really gauge your team's willingness to adopt new models and ways of operating. It may seem on the surface that adding a couple of, you know, a full suite or even a couple of these administrative services may not seem like it's a big deal, but it is. And it all has to be integrated. Otherwise, it's just not going to gel. And that's going to be felt not only by your team, but it's also going to be felt by your clients. And the last thing you want is to raise any red flags that something internal may be happening that you may or may not have control of. I've seen service launches stumble right out of the gate when there weren't qualified staff to assign the work to, or when there was an internal aversion to change, and that came out after clients started getting onboarded. So just be real careful and have really open conversations with everybody about where you're headed, why you're headed there, why it's important for the firm, why it's important to them, and then get their buy-in. That will go so far into helping you determine if you have the right people in the right spot. So look, they're tough questions. For just a few minutes into a podcast, that's several hours worth of work, unless you already have a lot of this built out and you have your trackers and you know what your profitability is. These are not easy. They're not easy questions, and I'm not saying that they are, but what I am saying is it's far better to uncover potential headwinds on the front end. And expanding into family office services, it's not something you can just casually test out and see how it goes. Sooner or later, you're going to end up at the crossroads of either recovering a key client relationship or losing it altogether because an important detail inevitably fell through the cracks. So, you know, that's the best case scenario. Worst case, you're dusting off that insurance policy, hoping it's going to cover the losses from a dropped ball while also scrambling to disclose a new compliance issue to every one of your other clients. So ask the hard questions up front. And when someone shows you what they're made of or where they're at, believe them. And it's okay. That doesn't make them any less of a person or less valuable to your team. It just means they're not the right person for that particular seat. Find them another seat. They'll be happier. You will be happier. This one seems a little bit obvious, but kind of going back to the things you should do, think about, take care of before you start implementing additional services is don't make assumptions about what your clients want. Just ask them. You know, it's incredibly tempting to infer what a client might want from offhand comments and or going to conferences or meeting with fellow practitioners in your field where they're talking about family office services and how important it is to have that available to their clients. If your clients are not asking, ask them. If this is something that's important to you and you feel like you want to add these additional services to your list to be able to provide them to clients, I think that's wonderful. But you could also go through a whole lot of work and banging your head against a wall and your team's head against a wall for a set of clients who actually really don't, you know, when you ask them or you present to them that you have these new services available, they don't really want it. So ask them what they want. Be explicit about what's driving your desire and what specific offerings would you think would genuinely enhance their experience. Don't say if you had everything ahead of, you know, if you could ask us to do anything, what would it be? That is a quick way to get yourself in trouble. Be very specific. If we offered bill pay, is that something you would be interested in? And if we did it, please know that it would need to be a service agreement. So it would not be able to run under our current fee structure. But is that something you would be interested in? Would you be interested in some sort of CFO, you know, personal CFO services, bookkeeping services, payroll services? Just ask them. They'll tell you. And then you'll know, is someone willing to pay for it or not? It's so tempting just to jump in. That's also a quick way to get in quickly over your head when you didn't really need to in the first place. And sometimes you're going to find having those conversations with clients, just having that exploratory, hey, would you be interested? You're very likely to find that actually small tweaks to your core delivery will satisfy your client's needs rather than having an entirely new platform. And they're going to be thrilled because they helped you be better. You also may uncover an opportunity for another provider who's already engaged with the client to help them step up that maybe you didn't know about. And now you can help them do more, which obviously leads to the client having a better experience. So if you're drawing your diagram here and you say, yes, we want to expand services. Do we want to expand services in-house? I don't know. This part's for you. So this is all about considering alternative configurations to your model. So you still need to do that groundwork. every business should have that written down. You should have your 3 to 5 year goals. You should know your ROI. You should know your profitability per client before you make any moves. But sometimes, you know, even though the path of least resistance may feel like, let's do it all in-house, we need to hold on to it, it's not always the right way to go. So I offer you an alternative, and that is thinking about specialized partnerships, outsourcing to very niche experts. You could consider white labeling services. You could consider building referral networks. There's a lot of ways to add value to your clients that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing it in-house. Because the reality is that a highly aligned, mutually beneficial external arrangement can, hence outsource, can often create more value, quite frankly, for everyone involved compared to, you know, going through the process of an in-house. You know, right-sized partnerships can allow you to maintain a laser focus on excelling at your core discipline, your bread and butter, while tapping into the efficiency and the versatility of a special provider to help, you know, boost your model. I firmly believe that a best-of-breed assembly of experts and specialists will beat out a closed ecosystem any day of the week, because those people are in it. Just like you're in your core work, they're in theirs, which means they're keeping up with the latest and greatest. They have the tech. They know the potholes to go around. They know how to not even put themselves in a situation to make some of the mistakes that a new practice is very likely to make. So, you know, what does this look like in practice? Let me give you a real world example here. We have an RIA client that focuses on investment management and wealth planning for multi-generational families. They've committed to maintaining their intense focus on being the absolute best at what they do, but they wanted to expand services. And so they actually came to us for these ancillary services that their clients were asking for. And we forged a partnership we are a separate firm. They know that our firm is providing these ancillary services. They've signed a service agreement, but we've presented, again, a united front. And so for the client, we never wanted them to feel like it was multiple firms. We wanted them to feel like it was one. And so that's how we talk to these clients. We talk to them as if their investment folks were sitting right beside us, because in reality, they are the way that we communicate. And so they brought us on to help with, you know, property management. They've got airplanes and we are managing for that. We're helping keep the staffing for housekeepers and their personal assistants and their pilots. We take care of all of that. We help coordinate some of the bigger family events, and we bring in the specialists to run some of those family meetings. And then we have the platform to bring all of the information into the one space, rather than the RIA just collecting documents in their cloud, but not really being able to access those documents in a way that when the client asks who's the third beneficiary down on Jim's trust that was set up by his great grandfather on his mother's side. Yes, those are real questions that get asked, rather than someone at the RIA firm having to go and find that trust document and then read through it and try and sift through and pull out the information. All of that is already in our database in this platform for the client. And so we've been able to bring all of that together and ease a little bit of that information burden on the RIA. So, you know, rather than them unnecessarily inflating their headcount, they decided to refer clients to us, knowing that they're going to get that high touch, seamless experience. And I am proud to say that so far that's exactly what's happened. They have very happy clients, and we have built and actively continue to foster a strong relationship with this RIA to be able to bring this to their clients. So, you know, it allows them to, I say, stay in their lane, but if really it's do what they do best. And they're not worrying about, you know, did payroll happen this week, or did the trust document get uploaded and the data goes in. It's a true win for the family and both of our firms, because everybody's doing what they do best and everybody's playing to their strengths. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're the only one that can weigh the relevant factors, the practical, the strategic, and figure out what the right call is for your firm's next chapter. The key is to carve out the time for a very thoughtful analysis rather than succumbing to a knee-jerk reactive decision. You know, because everybody's doing it doesn't mean you should too. So if you're intrigued by the potential of a partnership models and you want to learn more about joining a community of like-minded professionals who deliver services, I invite you to visit our mastermind community and explore if it might be a good fit for you or your firm. We don't, that's a place that if you are the ones doing these services, where you can come and you can be with other people who are doing those services specifically. You can have conversations about what's happening in the industry. When you run into a question, if you, you know, something's not working right, which happens pretty frequently, rather than, you know, just staring at it and not knowing what to do, you have a community to come to who's probably going through the same thing or went through it, and they can tell you real quick, oh, there's a button. You just go into bill.com and go into your settings, and then you see that button right there, just turn it off. Sometimes it really is as simple as that, but if you don't know, you don't know. And so we are building a community of family office professionals who are doing the work day in and day out and can help each other just do and be and grow more into their role. We also do a higher level, a leadership level. Once a quarter, we bring the leadership, or we invite the leadership of these firms who are participating in our mastermind community. And we talk about the higher level things like, how do you have conversations with clients? How do you talk to them about, we need to change your fee structure? We talk about, you know, higher level processes and right people in the right seats and things like that that we also need help with from a business perspective. I have someone, in fact, I have a group of folks that I go to specifically for that reason. So this is our way of sharing that with you and your firm and the people in your firm who are actually doing the work, giving them a place to lead and to learn and be a part of. So I'd love to hear about your tipping point moments. Please share your stories or questions down in the comment section. Connect with us on LinkedIn. Again, we'd love to continue this conversation. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Office Success Podcast. And remember, be kind and stay curious. Until next time.